little bit cooler than we usually have this time of year, but as was mentioned in class, it could still be an ice storm this time of year. I was told that the largest snowstorm that ever happened in Rogersville happened in the month of March. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I think I was told. So, you know, just never know exactly what's going to happen. But whatever, whether it's sunny or rainy or snowy or whatever, we just accept what God's given us and say, Lord, thank you for the blessings that we have. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his coming to this world, living among us, showing us how to live, showing us the correct attitude to have towards you, towards your word, towards your people. We thank you, Father, that he died on the cross for our sins, he rose the third day, that he promised that he would come back, and we wait his coming, whenever it might be. We do not know when it will be, but we know that he is coming back, and we're grateful for that blessing. We pray, Father, you be with us this morning as we study your word and we think about the important spiritual war that we are fighting. We realize there are physical wars all over the world, and it's terrible that mankind have war, shed the blood of fellow man, but we know the spiritual war we are fighting is a greater and more important warfare. And we just know, Father, that Christ will win, and that if we're faithful to him, we will win also. Bless us in our study this morning, we pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. We have two scriptures that we want to read this morning for our scripture reading. First is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The second one will be in Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 6. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to just read two verses, starting at verse 10. Paul said, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. And if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be starting at verse 10. Ephesians 6 will be starting at verse 10. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about Satan's devices, or some translations say schemes, some say tricks. Here he says it talks about the wiles of the devil. The word wiles really means cunning or craftiness. And some even translate it as the fraud of the devil. It is important when you are fighting a war that you understand your enemy. All the great generals in history have said that if they could understand their enemy, they had a great advantage in fighting the battle. General Robert E. Lee knew many of the Union generals. He had taught quite a few of them at West Point when he was the commandant at West Point. And he knew the men's weaknesses, and he knew their attitudes. He knew what they would do and not do. That's why many times he was so successful, because he knew his enemy. Satan is real. Satan is not a mythological character. He's not somebody that was created by the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. The Bible has a lot to say about our enemy, the devil. He has the name Satan, which means slanderer. He slanders God's people. He is sometimes called the devil, which is translated from the word diabolos, which means the deceiver. He is called the liar in John chapter 8. He's called the father of lies in that same chapter. He is referred to as a murderer. Paul calls him the god of this world. He is one time called Belial, which means reckless or worthless or lawless. He is one who has no respect for God whatsoever. And this morning, we want to look at some of the schemes, some of the tricks, some of the lies that Satan will try to use against us. Now, he's not going to use all these things against people in the world. He'll use some against people in the world, but you have to remember, basically, the devil controls the world. He's the god of this world. But he's going to be aiming these schemes, these tricks, these lies against you and against me and against all of God's people to try to get us away from the Lord. First of all, Satan will lie to us by making up a small little changes. And you have to think about this, that even in the very beginning of the Word of God, Satan just made one small change. God told Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. But in verse 4 of that same chapter, Satan said to Eve, thou shalt not die. Just one little change. One little word put in there. Eve believed him, and the change brought tragic consequences because of the fact that she believed the change that Satan made in God's word. They lost their relationship with God. They lost their home. They lost their communion with the animals. The ground was cursed. Eve had to have pain in childbearing. Adam had to work by the sweat of his brow. All of these things happened because of the lie that Satan said to Adam and Eve, thou shalt not surely die. Satan will try to change a small, little change. Secondly, Satan will try to trick people by quoting the scripture. And that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Satan quoting the scripture, but that does happen. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 6 it says, Satan says to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels a charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou cast dash thy foot against the stone. He's quoted from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Quoting scripture to the Son of God so that he would tempt Jesus in that time. Now, Jesus answered Satan's temptation, quoting the scripture, by quoting another scripture. And he said, again it is written, and he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. The whole point is that Satan will try to use scripture to change your thinking and to get you away from God. Satan may even say, look, the Bible says all have sinned. And you just can't help it in your sinning. You can't help it because you're not perfect. God is a loving God. The Bible says God's a loving God. God will understand. So don't worry about your sin because all have sinned. The fact is, excuses like that are just the works of the devil. And he does that to try to change your life and get you away from God. Thirdly, Satan will work hard to remove the Word of God from people's hearts. Now, sometimes he uses the Word of God, like in the case of Jesus, but then sometimes he wants to take it away from people himself. If you look back at Luke chapter 8, when Jesus gave the parable of the sower, he says in verse 12, he says, those by the wayside are those that when they hear the word, then cometh the devil, and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, we don't know exactly how he will take it out of their hearts. Maybe he'll have them forget it. Maybe he'll put something else there. We don't know. But he does want to get the word of God away from you. In Mark's account of that, in Mark chapter 4, it says, then cometh Satan immediately and takes away the word. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, for the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should, lest by the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan knows something a lot of our brethren don't. He knows the power of God's word. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God, Romans 1:16. Satan knows what the word of God can do. Satan knows that the Word of God can convict you of sin. Satan knows the Word of God can give you comfort. Satan knows the Word of God can give you strength. Satan knows that the Word of God can encourage you. Satan knows the Word of God can build you up. And that's why he tries to take the Word of God out of people's hearts. Fourthly, Satan works hard to get people to not take him seriously. How many times have you seen somebody dressed like the devil with a red suit and horns and having a pitchfork? It's in products of devil ham and things like that. But some writers put it this way, so the devil's great device, his masterpiece of temptation, is to destroy faith in his own existence. The caricatures that have been made of the devil, the fact that people just seem to just say, well, it's just this ancient character, it just doesn't be something to take seriously. That Satan doesn't want you to just totally deny his existence. He doesn't want you to do that, but just don't take him seriously. He's just another character from history. He's just another being. He's just another product of the Catholic Church. He's this, he's that. But don't take him seriously. Satan works hard to get people just to say, he's just something to laugh at. No, he's not someone to laugh at. He's someone to take seriously, because the ruthless, wicked things that he does will cause you to lose your soul. Fifthly, Satan tries to convince everybody that sin is pleasurable. And the fact of the matter is, it is. If sin didn't have pleasure, there wouldn't be any allurement. There wouldn't be any attraction. The Bible does say that it is pleasurable. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it says, Moses refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin has pleasure. But as Hebrews 11 says, it is temporary. It's for a season. It's not permanent. Sin is going to pay wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you will the flesh reap corruption. The fact of the matter is, Satan wants you to just think how wonderful and how beautiful it is. It's going to make you powerful. It's going to make you beautiful. It's going to make you strong. It's going to make you feel good. All these things sin is going to do, and it might for a short time. But then it's going to come back and bite you in the end. It's going to destroy you in the end. It's going to make your life miserable and cause you to lose your soul. Sixthly, Satan tries to appeal to our lower nature. When John talked about temptation in 1 John chapter 2, he talked about it this way. He talked about lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. When you look at those three things, and you look at the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, you see the exact same thing. You see in all three temptations, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Not in each temptation, but when you put the three of them together, you see it in the temptations. And that's what Satan's going to appeal to. He'll appeal to lust, he'll appeal to greed, he'll appeal to pride, he'll appeal to the lower nature of every person. Christ, on the other hand, will appeal to purity, he'll appeal to generosity, he'll appeal to humility, he'll appeal to the upper nature of people. Satan knows it's easier to give in to the lower nature. That's what he appeals to. We need to say, look, I'm going to listen to Christ and what he wants me to be and not listen to the devil. Also, Satan sometimes is going to use our friends. That sounds kind of strange in one way. And we all need friends. Nobody's going to argue that. Everybody needs friends. The person says, I don't need any friends, is just fooling themselves. Everybody needs friends. However, if your friends are getting you away from God, they're getting you away from Satan, then you just need to drop those friends. Listen to what Jesus did on one occasion in Matthew 16. The Bible says in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21, fear from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things, be killed, and be raised the third day. All right, so Jesus' teaching was still the apostles. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from thee, Lord, that this should be unto thee. He says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, why would Jesus call Peter Satan? He called Peter Satan because Peter was saying the things of Satan. Jesus had been teaching them that he is going to have to suffer, he is going to have to die, he is going to have to be buried, all these things are going to happen, but he'll be raised the third day. He'd been telling them he's going to give up himself for God. He's going to sacrifice himself for God. But Peter says, no, Lord, don't. Don't sacrifice yourself. Don't give up yourself. Think about yourself before you think about others and about saving the world. That was the idea of Satan. Protect yourself. Look out for number one. Think about yourself, not the person next to you, not about others. Think about you. We have to remember that sometimes our friends are going to give us bum advice. They're going to give us bad advice. If it's not scriptural advice, it is bad advice. Paul said it this way, evil companions corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. We have to be careful who we associate with. Recently, I've heard about a sister in Christ who got friendly with a lady on her street. When the sister had problems, the lady said, "You know, what you need is a good stiff drink." She got that sister drinking and drinking and drinking, and it caused the ruin of her marriage, or one of the factors in the ruin of her marriage. The fact of the matter is, when a person says you need a drink, or you need to do this, you need to do that, and you know that it's wrong, you need to get away from that friend, that person. Drop them like a hot potato. Eighthly, sometimes Satan is going to use sickness and disease. Sickness and disease are common all over the world. Sometimes people blame God for the sickness. But listen to what the Bible says. In Luke 13, it says, "Ought not this woman," this woman that was in front of him, "being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond of this affliction." The fact is that Satan was the one that had afflicted that woman for 18 years. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. It wasn't the messenger of God, it was a messenger of Satan. We don't know exactly what the thorn in the flesh was. Possibly it was bad eyesight. That's the most logical explanation, but it's not absolutely sure. But whatever it might have been, whether it was bad eyesight or something else, Paul said it was a messenger of Satan. Satan used physical affliction on Job in the Old Testament. And we need to be aware of that. Sometimes the Bible does put the afflictions, the sicknesses, the diseases of this world on Satan. Yes, it is true that times God did punish Israel with affliction. That's true. But the Bible does not indicate in any way that he is going to punish people today with that. Yes, people could do it to themselves. A person goes and drinks and drinks and drinks and gets drunk every night. The person's going to ruin their body. The person's going to do all kinds of horrible things to their body. A person goes and uses drugs. That drug is going to fry their brain. And that person can ruin their life in every possible way because of those drugs that they're taking. Yes, you can do it to yourself. God's not going to do it to you, but you could do it to yourself. But again, you give in to those things that are temptations, the drugs, the liquor, things like that, that are temptations by the devil. Ninthly, Satan tries to convince people that they can avoid the big sins to be okay. But the little sins, if you avoid the big ones, you're all right. But little ones, don't worry about. Big sins like idolatry, adultery, murder, drunkenness, drug abuse, homosexuality, stealing, all those big sins. If you don't commit those, you don't have to worry about anything else. But what about gossip? What about jealousy? What about envy? What about pride? What about greed? What about selfishness? What about being unmerciful? What about little white lies? I don't know where that phrase came from, but little white lies. Still a lie. What about swearing? What about taking God's name in vain? The list can go on and on. The fact of the matter is, when Satan says, "Well, you know, don't worry about it, it's not a big sin." According to the Word of God, sin is sin. Isaiah 59 says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and God. Your sin has hid him from your face." The fact is, we need to be aware of the fact that all sin is important. All sin is to be taken serious. And when Satan tells us lies as well, there are big sins and there are little sins. You don't do the big ones, you're okay. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about being lost because you don't commit the big ones. You're fine, you're all right. You don't commit murder or drug abuse or sell drugs to kids or something. You're fine. All that is a lie of Satan. That is a lie. Then also, Satan tries to convince people that good is evil and evil is good. You find the way people refer to things nowadays. Homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. Greed is ambitious capitalism. Selfishness is looking out for number one. Abortion is called just terminating a pregnancy. Road rage is just emotional outlet. Disrespect is just self-expression. And even what is good, sexual purity, people will say, "Well, that's just Puritanism. Well, that's just being a prude." Honesty, people say, "You're just too rigid in your thinking." Someone says, "Well, I just want to be good." They say, "Well, you're just a goody two-shoes," or you think you're holier than thou. People try to put evil for good and good for evil. Isaiah prophesied about this. And he says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, to put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Fact is, oh, Satan has done that so many times in so many ways in our whole society. Melville was saying the other night, our whole world has simply been turned upside down. But what is right, what is good, what is holy is now seen as bad. And what had been sinned in so many cases in so many ways is being promoted as the way that society should be. And the fact of the matter is, people have ignored history, and every culture, every country, every empire that's practiced the things that are being practiced in America today has caused it to fall. People don't want to admit that. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear it. But the fact is that when you practice the immorality, when you practice the dishonesty, when you practice all the things that are being allowed and encouraged and talked about, where children are being encouraged to have sexual relations, when kids are told, don't tell your parents about this or about that, when all the breakdown of the family and all those things happen, that country, that nation, that empire fell. It is as sure as anything, just as people reap what they sow, countries reap what they sow as well. 11th place. Satan works very hard to convince people that sincerity is all that matters. As long as you're sincere. Now, sincerity is necessary. Sincerity is absolutely necessary. God hates hypocrisy. The fact is, sincerity is not all that matters. Truth matters as well. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said in John 17, thy word is truth. 3 John 4, the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. 2 John 9 through 11 says, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. But Satan is telling people, that doesn't matter. Are you sincere? Are you sincere when you believe that Allah speaks through the Quran and that Muhammad was his prophet? Are you sincere in that belief? Well, then that road can lead you to heaven. Are you sincere when you utter the Buddhist prayers of meditation? If you're sincere about the Buddhist prayers of meditation, then that can take you to God. Are you sincere when you follow any particular religious group, whether they claim to be Christian or not? Even if they claim to be Christian, are they really following the Bible? If they're not, it doesn't matter, as long as you're sincere, because all roads lead to heaven. If that was true, that all roads lead to heaven, then Jesus Christ died for nothing.
That's right.
If that was true, then there's no reason for Jesus to come to this world. If all roads lead to heaven, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Zealots, all of them could have led to heaven. Just pick a group and just join that group and you can go to heaven. And Jesus shows it's not true. Truth does matter. Sincerity matters. And we want to emphasize that you must be sincere. But you must also follow the truth. Now we can resist Satan. James chapter 4 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He can be defeated. He will be defeated. Tonight we're going to look at some more of these lies and these tricks that Satan uses. Originally I had over 23 and had about 23 more that I thought about, and I thought, no, that's too much and too long a sermon for anybody, even for me. So, don't need to have that much in one sermon. We're going to look at a few more of these tonight. And I just want everyone to take the devil seriously. Don't laugh at him. Don't say he just doesn't have a Remember, he is our enemy. He is the one that wants you to be destroyed. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's on an evangelistic tour also. He wants to find people that need to snatch away from God. But we can't fight him. Jesus overcame the temptation of Satan. You can overcome it. I can overcome it. We can do it if we rely on God and his power. Now we're going to sing the invitation here. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that this morning. If you believe in Jesus as God's Son, and want to repent of your sin, confess your faith in Christ, put him on in the waters of baptism, why not do that this morning? If as a child of God, you need to rededicate your life, why not have that rededication this morning? We'll pray with you and for you that God will forgive you, whatever your needs might be. We invite you to come on stand while we sing.